Hey, folks, thanks for tuning back in to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am your host, Chip Patterson, and the What Went Right, What Went Wrong review series powers on as we take a look at the Mighty Mac. And joining me to do that is Mr. Tom Fornelli. Tom, are you ready to get some last bit of podcastian Maction going?
I am wearing my Maction t-shirt. I'm so ready for this podcast.
Oh, wow. That is so committed. That is so committed. Overall, let's just go ahead and say a definite banner year for the Mac. It seemed as though not only did they send six teams to the postseason, not only did it was there the high level of play where you had Kent State and Northern Illinois, you know, both sitting there in the top 20 of the rankings heading into championship week, but it just seemed in general like, to me, we were beyond it being a sort of hokey or niche. You know, it wasn't like, oh, this is fun, we've got these crazy weekday games. I thought that it was just a good year of football in general.
Yeah, I mean, like, the MAC became notorious amongst, you know, the college football hipster crowd that we belong to just because, you know, they would play on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And the games, for the most part, while entertaining, their entertainment factor was, you know, partially due to them not playing the greatest football. Just, you know, sloppy football sometimes leads to, you know, fun football.
Right.
But this year, the level of play was definitely a step up. I mean, it's not a coincidence that seven teams in the conference won more than six games. There were some pretty good teams. So it's kind of just, you know, the fun of the conference is finally, I think, starting to blend with actual, you know, better play. Now, will it stay that way? I don't know, because that's the thing with the MAC. It's with so much turnover among coaching staffs, it's really hard to predict what's going to happen in the conference from year to year. And that's another one of the reasons why it's such a fun conference.
Yeah, because you don't have, and this is an interesting point you just made, every couple years or so, this is going to happen. And a lot of people do say, is the coaching. And that's why you will see, particularly with other schools in the area, that they are going to reach to the MAC to find their next coach. And that, you know, there's always going to be turnover. And this seemed to be sort of, you know, as you had Northern Illinois under Dave Doran, you had Daryl Hazel under Kent State, you know, these programs that were sort of reaching their peak, the coaches get plucked. Are you nervous at all that maybe there's going to be a drop down as we move forward until sort of maybe, I guess you would say, Pete Limbo and the next crop of coaches sort of get their programs to take that next jump?
I don't know if I'm worried there was going to be a big drop down. I mean, I don't think 2012, that kind of season, is going to be a norm for them because of it. But I mean, coaches have always been leaving the MAC, and they've always found new coaches. It's a very good conference for up and coming coaches, you know, to get noticed, particularly in the Midwest, where it's like, if you go through the Big Ten, I mean, every head coach at every school has either been a coach in the MAC or came straight from the MAC. So it's very much a feeder system for the bigger programs as far as coaching goes. There's always good coaches in there. So it's going to change. It's not going to be as good, but it's still going to be, you know, better than some other conferences. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and also allow me to please correct myself. It was seven teams that went to the bowl games. Unfortunately, I will say that they did go 2-5 in bowl games. I'm willing to attribute a little bit of that to the coaching turnover, particularly in the case of Kent State, Northern Illinois playing Florida State. That was a challenge unto itself. But Bowling Green sort of did not really hold their own against San Jose State. Are you just sort of chalking that up to, you know, those weird MAC bowl bids? Because they don't exactly get the elite. I think they only have two or three automatic bowl ties, and from there it was just kind of at-large bids.
Yeah, I never like to put too much stock in a conference's bowl performance. Of course, that could just be that I'm from the Midwest and grew up in the Big Ten, so maybe that's a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, I mean, there were some very tough matchups that the MAC got, like you said, because they don't have auto bids a lot of places. Like Toledo had to face a Utah State team that could beat many teams around the country and got their butts kicked. Ball State played a UCF team that was, you know, playing for a Conference USA title, and the Ball State's a good team. And then, you know, like you said, Bowling Green, they hung with San Jose State for a while until they got put at the end. And like you said, when you got Northern Illinois going up against Florida State, whether or not you believe that Northern Illinois deserved to be there, it's still Northern Illinois and Florida State. And the fact that they only lost by 21 and kind of kept it, you know, as very respectable as possible for the first three quarters, not much to be too upset about there. And then, like you said, with Kent State losing to Arkansas State, they lost that game by 4, and Daryl Hensel was still coaching. But it's still, even if the coach is still around, it's still weird, you know, when you know he's leaving. And plus, he's been doing other things with his new job at Purdue. So, you know, there's not a lot of consistency there in that month off between games. And then plus, like I just said, there's the month off between games.
Yeah, and the GoDaddy.com Bowl, where Kent State was playing, is a 9 o'clock Eastern time Sunday night kick. It's about as awkward as they come, and the night before the national championship game. It's about as awkward as they come as far as where the game falls in the bowl calendar, and also in the, you know, social and normal calendar of these 18 to 22-year-old student-athletes, where I would imagine that you're probably, if you're playing in the GoDaddy.com Bowl, you might be checked out by the time that game actually comes around.
Oh, yeah. Plus, I mean, the game's, the first quarter's televised, and then you got to go to GoDaddy.com to see the last three quarters. So, I mean, what the hell is that?
Buzzing! All right, let's, we'll take that into the what went right, what went wrong portion of this podcast. We will not be going team by team. We're going to try and pack as much of what went right and what went wrong into this show as we can. So we're going to go back. Tom and I are going to go back and forth, starting with what went right. Then we'll move on to what went wrong. And Tom, I will allow you to go first. Hit me with your first what went right in the MAC in 2012.
Well, I think the obvious starting point here is Northern Illinois and the MAC getting its very first BCS bid. Huskies, yeah, they lost by 21 to Florida State, but like I just mentioned, it was for three quarters, it was a lot closer than I think most people thought it would be, and it looked like Northern Illinois would at least cover a spread. But this was still a very good team that everybody wants to point out lost to Iowa in the first week of the year, and Iowa was very bad this year, yes, but they lost to Iowa when Iowa scored a touchdown in the final minute, you know, and it was a neutral fields game. So it's just, you know, the first week, I don't think we should ever judge any team we see based on the first week of the season. You know, that's the week Michigan lost to Appalachian State a couple years ago, and would you say Appalachian State was better than Michigan? No. So yeah, it's just, they had the one loss by 1 point in the opening week, and then they didn't lose again until they played Florida State, and they hung with Florida State. So this is, for the MAC as a conference and for Northern Illinois as a school, this is far and away the best thing that's ever happened to them.
Yeah, and you've got Jordan Lynch coming back. I mean, this is a guy who earned All-American honors. He was a quarterback that earned All-American honors as an all-purpose threat, something that, you know, normally are reserved for your Tavon Austins or your Dre Archers, as I'm sure we'll talk about more later. But this is another step forward for that program. And I think that, you know, Rod Carey getting the immediate promotion, they were able to avoid sort of any kind of weird lull or coaching search, so that everything that has gotten them to that point, they will at least be able to carry it forward.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the one thing that Northern Illinois has done is, as far as the MAC is concerned, the Huskies have had, you know, consistency being successful in the conference for the last few years through coaching changes, and it's precisely what you just said. When they went from Jerry killed Dave Doran, there wasn't much turnover as far as what the program did, particularly on offense. They still ran the same kind of system. And with Rod Carey coming in to replace Dave Doran, they'll still be running that same kind of system. So even though there's been coaching changes, there's still consistency with what they do, and that's why Northern Illinois has been good for quite a few years now.
My first what went right in the MAC, talk about Bowling Green's defense. In the center, you've got defensive tackle Chris Jones, who is among the nation's leader with 12.5 sacks. He also earned, I believe, second-team All-American honors. But the Bowling Green defense as a whole, this was a perfect example. At the beginning of the show, when Tom said old Maction had to do with your 63-57, seven touchdowns in the last quarter that made it all real exciting, this was another example of just really solid play. The fact that Bowling Green's defense is number 6 nationally in total defense, number 10 in scoring defense, and like I said, Chris Jones right there in the center. He was commanding double teams a lot, and it was just, I thought, representative of generally just some stepped-up play. Kent State, number four nationally in turnover margin. So just Bowling Green defense in general. I thought that was a perfect example of how we saw, you know, this go from a novelty to a very legitimate year for the conference.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at just Bowling Green, like, they started the year playing against Florida in the Swamp, and they lost 27-14, but it was a game that was so very close until the fourth quarter. It was like, my God, what the heck? This is Florida. You know, Will Muschamp might get fired before the September is over. But it went on. It's just, you know what? Damn, this team actually has a pretty good defense, because in the first 4 weeks, they started 1-3 in their first four games, and they were giving up points. They gave up 27 to Florida. They gave up 27 to a good offensive Toledo team, and they gave up 37 to Virginia Tech. But after that, they only allowed more than 14 points once, and that was against Kent State towards the end of the year. This was a defense that was solid all year long, and if it had an offense that was, you know, better than it was, this Bowling Green might have been right there with Kent State and with Northern Illinois competing to be ranked in the top 16.
All right, Tom, give me your next. What went right in the MAC this season?
Well, I would say just in general, the teams, you know, there's still good coaching and the teams are still playing well, and there's more good teams. Whereas normally in the MAC the last few years, there's been two or three teams that you would consider to be above average or good. And like we talked about, with seven teams making the bowl games this year, that's definitely a step up. But it's just the quality of the team seems to be getting better. They're getting better players. They're recruiting better. They're not getting the five stars and the four stars, but they're finding those guys that, you know, kind of slip through the cracks of the recruiting services, or, you know, just two-star guys that people aren't paying attention to. And they're producing good football players from it. Like we mentioned with Jordan Lynch, as a kid coming out of high school, you look at Jordan Lynch with his skill sets, he's not particularly fast. I mean, we saw that in the Florida State game. You see that and you're like, this kid's, you know, not going to be that great of a player, but look at what he's turned into at Northern Illinois. They find these players, they're putting them into systems, and they're producing good football players and good football teams because of it.
Yeah, it's good players, good systems, a lot of it credit to good coaching. It's also a little bit of the, in my opinion, and this is a general college football thing, it is easier for coaches to find these players and to be able to gather more information on these players. And while we like to laugh about all these kids that get these offers and you know, all of a sudden teams are in their ear really, really early, a good coach that spots a player who maybe has come on late, some player that wasn't highly ranked as a sophomore or junior, but maybe develops during his senior year, that is a great opportunity if they've not had a lot of attention for someone like on Dave Doran's staff to sweep in there and say, hey, look at what we've been doing at Northern Illinois. And then you're able to scoop up those guys right there. You've obviously got also the location for players that might get ticked off or miffed by oversigning or anything like that as the Big Ten recruiting continues to heat up with the new coaches that are there.
Yeah, there's always going to be players that slip through. Like you said, with those kids that maybe don't show up until their senior year, that happens quite a bit. Just for my playing football in high school, it's like there were players on our team who, you know, I would start from freshman through sophomore year before we get to varsity. They were terrible. But then by the time we were seniors, it's like, oh, you know, they were much improved football players. So, yeah, and plus I think also another big reason is just with most of the MAC seemingly being centered in Ohio, which is really one of the few states in the Midwest that's still producing football talent and doing it consistently, I think that's another boost to the conference as well.
My next what went right for the MAC in 2012 is just September 22nd. It went right for a lot of teams. Central Michigan beat Iowa. Western Michigan beat Connecticut. Northern Illinois scored 17 unanswered to knock off Kansas. Then remember, this is early season, September 22nd. Northern Illinois, the Orange Bowl team, almost lost to Kansas, but they were able to save that with their big comeback. And then Ball State knocked off South Florida 31-27 in a game that they probably deserved to win, but South Florida sort of came back. And it was just that early season day. Tom, actually, I'm, if you had this prepped, I'm sorry that I'm stealing it out from under your nose. Tom actually sort of summarized it on that day. But in September, we all of a sudden, it was sort of like an alert, like, okay, we might need to keep our eye on this conference. Granted, Western Michigan didn't really, you know, do much the rest of the season. It certainly gave us a heads up to what the level of play was going to be and that they were able to compete, you know, not just against Big Ten teams, Big East teams, but also Big 12 teams. Even though it's Kansas, it seemed like a day that sort of signaled that this was going to be different.
Oh, yeah, and then you mentioned Western Michigan. Western Michigan might have, you know, Alex Carter got hurt at that point and went down, and, you know, they lost their starting quarterback who'd been starting for 3 years. And once he got hurt, that's when Western Michigan started making that slide. So had he not gotten hurt, there might have been another back team going to a bowl game this year.
All right, what's your next what went right for the MAC?
Well, I think I would just want to, if we're going to focus on one team now, or at least I'm going to, I would say Ball State because, like, we already mentioned Pete Lembo a little bit, and I just, I'm just a Pete Lembo fan. I'm not going to lie. I think Ball State is definitely in the right direction again. Because you think about it, Ball State's one of those teams that has had success in the last few years where they had, you know, they had Brady Hoke, but then Brady Hoke left and they kind of went crashing down. But this year, after having a good season, going 9-4, getting to a good bowl game and losing to UCF, but still having a good season, all things considered, Lembo was a name that was, you know, mentioned at places as a candidate, but he's, you know, he's coming back for another year, which is good for Ball State. And I think, you know, that's good for the program. It's still going to be good next year, and it could be a contender for the conference title next season.
My last what went right is Mr. Zach Dysart, the Miami quarterback. The Red Hawks did not exactly have the season that they'd hoped for. Particularly, they got the upset win over Ohio earlier in the season, and you know there was a lot of hype. But Dysart early in the season put together, the first 500-100 game in FBS history. That's 516 yards passing with 6 passing touchdowns, 108 yards rushing, and it was unbelievable. One of those games where a lot was going on during the day, and we had all of a sudden started seeing the numbers, you know, total, and you have to quickly rush to your ESPN3 or whatever your streaming way of viewing this Akron Miami game. And for Dysart, a quarterback who's been very, very productive during his time at Miami, it was very cool to see them be able to sort of put a mark in this season while their season as a whole was a little bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, that 500 yards passing and 100 yards rushing is definitely what we refer to when we refer to action.
Yeah, and the fact that it was the last touchdown was the game-winning touchdown to win 56-49 in the final minute. Yeah, you're right. That was old-school Maction. Props to Dysart, but it definitely did not represent the rest of the conference as a whole. All right, moving on to a little more.
Well, actually, you know, one more that I can't believe I almost forgot. One more thing that went right for the MAC.
Oh, yeah, what?
Ohio beat Penn State in Happy Valley in the first week of the year. It's forgotten about because of how well all the other teams did. Ohio kind of fell back towards the pack as the year went on. But still, a MAC team went into Happy Valley and upset Penn State in the very first week of the year. That's another high point for the conference as well.
After trailing, right? Weren't they?
Yeah.
They were down in the first half, and then they came back to win. Tettleton had a pretty solid game, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the more somber topics, Tom. Give me what went wrong for the MAC in 2012.
Well, you know, Chip, when you have a lot of teams in a conference winning games, that means there has to be somebody on the other end of those games that are losing them. And we mentioned Western Michigan falling apart quite a bit after Alex Carter got hurt, but they weren't alone. There was also UMass, when it's in its first season as an FBS school, went 1-7 in the MAC. Did manage a conference win, but 1-11 overall, while only scoring 152 points in 12 games and giving up 482.
Mm.
And then there was Akron with Terry Bowden, and nobody feared the dadgum rue this year because Akron went 0-8, 1-11 overall, and just they were the team that actually lost to Massachusetts.
Oh, man. We had Coach Bowden, actually, Bobby Bowden, as a guest on the Iowa College Football Podcast. I remember right before Akron's first game, and I was trying to be nice. I was like, oh, yeah, they'll, you know, like trying to pep them up and sort of be optimistic, talking about the team's outlook at the season. And even old Coach Bowden was like, well, they're going to have to play real hard. everybody knew that this year might be a tough first season right there for the Zips. My first what went wrong was we talked about Ohio kicking off the season, beating Penn State, and they really suffered some injuries throughout the year, and their depth was tested. And I think that's one of the reasons that they took a little bit of a step back, but then also seeing them when they were healthy. I remember a lot of the people that sort of stick close to the Ohio beat, their bowl game, the victory in the bowl game, you're like, oh, so this is what Ohio could have been if they were healthy throughout the season. So they had the loss to Miami, some injuries along the way sort of prevented them from, you know, after the Penn State game, remember people were talking, is Ohio going to go undefeated? And then like everything sort of unfolds the way it did. So health problems hurting Frank Solich's squad, one of my things that did not go well.
Yeah, I mean they were pretty much the original MAC team to be ranked this year in both major polls. But I believe there was one CBSSports.com expert who managed to pick Ohio beating Louisiana Monroe in that bowl game. If only I could remember who it was.
Oh, what's he? It was Matt. It was definitely Matt, wasn't it?
No, it was me.
I know. Were you taking injuries into consideration, or were you just believing in your loins that the Maxion blood will reign supreme?
It was a little bit of both. I knew they were getting healthy again, and giving the 3 weeks off that they had going into the game, I figured Solich would be able to get in. Louisiana Monroe, not a bad team, but I didn't think they'd win by 31, but I had faith in Ohio to win that game.
Yeah, I had no idea that they were going to come out and just make Todd Berry's squad just shut them down entirely.
That was a butt kick.
Yeah. All right, one last from Tom. What went wrong in the MAC in 2012?
Well, we've glanced over it already, but just the fact that, although I don't really put a lot of stock into postseason records as judging a conference, just as for the perception of the conference, it would have been nice had they gone better than 2-5 in the bowl games, just because most people, let's be real, don't watch the MAC during the regular season. So they just see these teams and see that they're ranked and they're in the BCS, and their initial reaction is, what the hell, this little Northern Illinois team or this Kent State team doesn't belong here. But it would have been nice if the MAC had played well in bowl games, just to make people think, you know what, maybe this conference isn't that bad. Because, it's like I said, the regular season is largely ignored by a lot of people when it comes to these smaller conferences. And the bowl games really are their showcase to show people, hey, you know what, we're pretty good too. So I would have liked to see the MAC do better in the bowl games.
Yeah, I would have liked if I like confidence, and I understand that there's arguments about whether the quote was taken out of context, but I would say that some of Jordan Lynch's smack talking about the Florida State defense did not work out well, particularly when it comes to the perception, because, this is the Orange Bowl, this is the MAC in the Orange Bowl, you had ESPN talking a lot of smack, there was extra attention on it because of that game, and Florida State did not play their best game. They played far from their best game of the season, and still, they were able to win, pretty handily in that game. You almost wish that, you almost wish it had been one of those, a different expectation, if the bar was set at a different level as far as public perception goes for Northern Illinois heading into that game.
There is no way in hell those quotes were taken out of context. The original quotes were pretty much two paragraphs of Jordan Lynch just talking. So unless the Sporting News cut off the first sentence, which was, just none of this is real, and then Jordan Lynch went on that, there's no way those were taken out of context. He just he wrote a check, his butt couldn't cash.
Yeah, he started talking, and I think
he didn't stop. That's the problem.
Yeah, if you cut them, they'll bleed was not looking as fierce while Jordan Lynch was getting outrun to the sideline by the defensive tackles of Florida State.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let's look ahead a little bit. What's a team, and I might have a hunch of who you're going to say, but with the coaching changes, with the, you know, sort of taking a glance at what players might be coming back, how many, you know, what people are bringing back, who are you keeping an eye on heading into 2013? This doesn't need to be who you think will win the MAC, but a team that has particularly high potential or upside going into the next season.
Well, I still think that Northern Illinois is going to be a contender in the conference, and I think Ohio will also bounce back just because Solich just put together a winner there. He doesn't seem to be willing to leave to go anywhere. But I think just looking, if you look at the teams that maybe had lower years or, you know, losing years, I would like Western Michigan, even though they fired Bill Cubitt, but they brought in P.J. Fleck, who is a former Northern Illinois receiver. But there's still talent on that team that could bounce back quickly. But just amongst, you know, Bowling Green, that defense is going to make sure that they're still good. And like I've already mentioned, Ball State. Ball State's my quote-unquote dark horse conference favorite. And then Toledo didn't really miss a beat after Tim Beckman left for Illinois. Matt Campbell took that program over, and the offense is still good. So Toledo's still a force to be reckoned with. I mean, this is Ball State's my dark horse, but this is still a conference that's going to have its fair share of good teams next year.
I like all that. I like all of those picks. I'd love to see Toledo, which, you know, like that Utah State game, Toledo hung with Utah State for a little while until Kerwin Williams ran crazy in the end.
And, until the fourth quarter just blew everything to hell.
Yeah, you look back at that score, and that was not representative of that game, and I'm with you. I'd love to see Matt Campbell be able to continue to do that because it is absurd that Matt Campbell, what, 33 years old?
Yeah, he's going to be that hot young, you know, candidate next year or the year after that. He's going to be that guy that's on a lot of people's tongues when it comes to new coaching candidates at major schools.
Yeah. All right, well, my thanks to Tom Fornelli for putting on his MACtion t-shirt, both literally and figuratively, as we sit down to review 2012 in the MAC. Be sure you follow him on Twitter, at Tom Fornelli. Be sure you follow the Ion College Football blog, at IonCFB. And remember that anytime that you want to have a question or comment for Tom, myself, or anybody on the podcast, you can be sure to just tweet it there. Also, go to iTunes if you want to get the rest of the Ion College Football podcasts. You can get them for free and subscribe. Review, rate, do all that wonderful stuff. Be sure to keep it here as we roll through the What Went Right, What Went Wrong podcast series. We'll be keeping them going through the rest of January until it's recruiting time. For Tom Fornelli, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks for listening.